Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Sometimes I feel like I'm being watched while I sleep. And then when I open my eyes, my cat is standing over me like some sort of demon.
Sucking your soul. That feeling when you just cannot bear to wear bras anymore, so you seriously consider burning them in a ritualistic fire on the beach.
Been there, sister. I've also been into cold soup lately, because who ever said soup has to be hot?
Nobody I know. Dear skinny jeans, there's no easy way to say this, but I'm breaking up with you. It's not you, it's me. Don't worry though, we can still be friends.
Have such a good day. Oh, hey world. What up, y'all? Welcome to y'all? Have such a good day, the show that wants you to do
Episode 146 in the house. How y'all doing out there? Hey, I've been watching Ted Lasso, so I am doing A-okay.
That is so funny, Heather. I mean, I love how you like it wasn't like you were dragging your feet about it because no. I've been there.
Yeah.
That, you know, where someone's like, oh my God, you have to watch the show. It's so great. You have to watch the show. It's so great. And I'm like, I'll get to it. But I know. My own stuff, you know, there's other stuff, you know, but like, I was definitely on the Heather will love Ted Lasso train because it's just a very feel-good show.
Oh, yeah, totally. And the thing is, I did watch the first few episodes, like, way back when. And one of the issues is I'm, like, such a TV binge watcher, but like I've said before on the show, my boyfriend is a movie guy. He likes the, 60 to 90-minute format, and he does not like binging. It's like not his thing. So that's part of the reason I probably would have already finished Ted Lasso like years ago. I know it hasn't been out for years, but so I don't have a lot of chances to binge things. So I have to like pick and choose. And I am such a thriller gal. So as much as I love Ted Lasso and I probably love it more than Ozark, but I just crave Ozark. You know, I crave something like that. I crave a thriller. Something dark and twisted. And
tell me more about money laundering.
It's not even really that. It's just, it's the tone I'm looking for, Sarah. I'm looking for atmosphere and tone.
I got you. There are plenty of things all the time that people tell me, oh, Sarah, you'll love this.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, you know, put it on the list and maybe I'll get to it and maybe I forget about it. But I also do that with other people as well, where, you know, when I think someone's going to like something that I really like, you have to watch this, like today. Like, you have to watch it today, you know? And they'll kind of go like, I'll get to it.
I'm annoyed with this because, like, my sister, she doesn't listen to the show, but one of these days she will, and that's why I don't really talk about her that much. And it's funny, so there's a couple things I want to mention here. So we grew up watching movies, like, we like a lot of the same things. She's really into documentaries. I mean, I'm into documentaries too. She might be slightly more into them. I mean, we obviously have our personal preferences, but I will tell her a movie that I'm like, you will love this. And she's like doing nothing. She has no plans to watch anything that night. And she convinces me she's going to watch it. And then I check in with her the next day and I'm like, don't fuck with me. You're going to watch it tonight, right? Because I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
She makes all kinds of excuses of why she didn't watch it. And then it totally slips through the cracks and she never watches it. And I'm like, dude, Like, seriously, she like doesn't take me seriously sometimes.
I think though, in, you know, in your sister and anyone else's defense, who's like, yeah, no, I've been through this. I always have to be in the mood kind of thing. You have to be in a mood. And it's also, I feel like when somebody tells me with almost too much enthusiasm how much I'm going to like something, yeah. I'm worried that I won't like it.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, and then like, you're going to disappoint this, that person.
Yeah, or you're just like, now we have to talk about it. I remember, this is like a million years ago, but when Forrest Gump came out, mm-hmm. you know, in the theaters, right? You know, this is like well before streaming services. Like, got to go to the theater, watch Forrest Gump. And everybody saw the movie, and it won Best Picture at the Oscars that year. I had not seen it, you know. And the more that I didn't watch the movie, the more people were like, that is so crazy. Like, how have you not watched it, you know? And the more that this happened, the more I was like, now I don't want to. Like, yeah, I just feel totally. Like, I feel like you're like pushing me like down some sort of like a well. Like, I will watch it when I want to. Like, stop.
I know. I know what you mean.
I eventually did watch it, and it was a really good movie.
You got to reverse engineer it and just say, like, yeah, this exactly. movie, yeah. like, you probably, I don't know if you'll really like it that much. This, but
yeah, it's maybe a little highbrow for you.
But I really want to know your opinion.
You might not get it.
Downplay it or something.
Yeah,
I need to think about this. I need, like, a new way of triggering her to do what I tell her. Anyway, I'm also, you know, so caught up with these puzzles lately, Sarah. I'm like the puzzle queen. I mean,
you really are.
I mean, I might not have the best short-term memory, but I am a whiz at puzzles. And like, I've been breezing through the New York Times crosswords like really fast. Granted, you know, when it gets toward the end of the week, it gets a lot more challenging, but I can really tell I'm getting better. Like, I can really see that my mind is sharper.
Well, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. This is the Have Such a Good Day, the show that tries our very hardest to make some sense out of the absurdity of everyday life. And mm-hmm. And you know, we're all kind of holding each other's hands, having a good hour out of the week. And I don't know, Heather. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of encapsulated it. Like, we try to laugh so we don't spend our days crying. It's kind of like cheap therapy a right? little bit. We just kind of want to have some fun.
Imagine if you didn't have the show, just, you know, waking up sobbing. Sobbing and sobbing.
It's like a feel-good.
You're welcome.
It's sort of a feel-good thing, maybe. You know, like, hopefully we make you feel good at the
Certainly
end of this hour.
Certainly is for us. So to everybody who's on the journey with us, we love y'all. We see many of you in Discord. Some of our patrons send us real nice notes. Please do keep that coming, by the way. If we ever talk about something that strikes a chord, hi at havesuchagoodday.com is where to send that email. We really appreciate that.
And I'd really like to know if there's anybody out there that does cry because of our show, or if our show has made you cry in the past.
I've cried
email
on our
us.
Show plenty of times.
Yes. I've cried inside a little bit more than on the outside. So you maybe didn't notice, but please let us know. hi@havesuchagoodday.com. We miss hearing from y'all.
We do. And we'd like to hear more. Well, speaking of, you know, having a good week, it has been a good week. It's been sort of tumultuous in my week. Just kind of personal life stuff. Nothing crazy. But what I am trying to do is get a lot of financial things in order. And Heather, I know you can relate. I already got my tax return, so that was real
good
quick
on you.
which was amazing. I mean, not that it was like that much money, but it was a return. Mm-hmm. And last year in 2021, from the time that I filed in April, I didn't get my return until like end of July, August, you know, because they were so backed up. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of assumed that it was going to be the same thing this year. Fortunately for me, it was processed real quick, so that's great. But
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, listen, I mean, even if I got $2 as a return, I consider that a win, you know, that I don't owe money, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not always like that every year. So yeah, we did okay. But there are, you know, speaking of finances, there are a bunch of other things that I'm chipping away at, and I've got this you know, I have my to-do list, which is like my to-do list, which is sort of a living, breathing to-do list, is like things like wash the dog blankets, empty the dishwasher, like it's stupid stuff. But like that stuff that it's like I need to do that kind of on a daily basis, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. then it makes me feel good to be able to say, OK, I did that so I can take this off my to-do list. This is all on my computer. And then I have my kind of like just looking ahead. Here are the things that I also need to deal with, but like doesn't have to be like in the next hour. And one of those things is getting my passport renewed because it's expired. Now, there was a time not that long ago where having an expired passport would fill me with like so much anxiety. Like the idea that I couldn't just go to SFO today and like fly to Paris just because it would be an issue because the passport, not that I'm doing that, but I want to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. That would have, you know, sent me into a spiral. But with COVID, I wasn't flying. So passport expired and I was like, that's something I have to do. But now, you know, life's getting a little, not totally back to normal, but back to normal in the sense that I may fly internationally, you know, sooner than later. And I need to deal with that. And it's not that hard to get your passport renewed. You know, you just mail it in and they send you a new one. But it's just something I have to do. Mm-hmm. But the bigger one is that I've been leasing my car for 3 years, and lease was up recently, and I decided to just buy the car for a variety of reasons. First of all, there's a huge automobile shortage right now, and that's for, you know, new cars, used cars, leased cars, supply all chain. The cars. Yeah, supply chain bullshit. Yeah. And, you know, I'm well aware of it. And I did enough sort of digging around to be like, OK, well, what are my options? And to be honest, my leasing options, because I kind of like a lease because my car is always new, you know, and I you know, that's you pay for the convenience of that. But the leasing options were like astronomical. I was like, wow. I can't pay like. I pay a certain amount per month, and that's what I would expect to pay for my new car. And if it's going to be like $300 more per month, like we're not
doing that. So leasing costs have gone up with, I know a lot about the supply chain and the rent and renting cars and buying used cars and buying new cars, but I didn't really think about the leasing. So did the
prices
go up? It's all
the same because it's all inventory. If you don't have inventory, you know, the dealership, I talked to the people who, you know, at my local, I have a Volvo, the Volvo dealership, and they're great. I mean, it's not like I'm like, oh, what a bunch of assholes or anything like that. But they're like, we don't have inventory here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we are not incentivized to give you a deal at all. And in fact, it's kind of marked up.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take it, somebody will, because they're going to be desperate. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to play that game. So I also like my car. You know, it's a great car.
I think it's good. You can build some equity. And I'm kind of over-leasing at this point, honestly. I don't know. I was into it for a while, but.
It's very much a personal decision, and yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, it's whatever works for y'all.
Yeah.
But for me, this made the most sense to me, at least for now. And, you know, if I change my mind later, then, you know, and things are a little bit different, I could sell my now used car and, you know, think about other things. But I really like my car. There's nothing I don't like about my car. It's one of the best cars I've ever had. So I've been kind of like doing that whole thing, and boy, is it a shit show, Heather. and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to buy out a lease. So, you know, there's a sticker price for doing that, and you either can pay in cash, which I cannot, or you can finance it, and you figure out how you're going to do that. And I have figured that out, you know, with, you know, my own personal banking system and all that's good. But
and a calculator.
Yes, exactly. With a calculator that works. I'm talking to like a, you know, there's sort of a bank, and then there's also like the Volvo people. Mm-hmm. And they don't talk to each other. I'm the, you know, mediator between the two. And everybody needs like a document, and the document, you know, it's sort of like, okay, I've got the document. How do I send that to you? Oh, upload it. And then I'm like, well, it did, like, the upload failed. I don't know, like, what's going on with the, like, your online portal. Like, mm-hmm. is there some other way I could send it? Oh, you could, like, send it, you know, via mail, where I'm like, the USPS? Oh, my God. Okay. We're doing that now. So I'm still in the throes of this nightmare, but it's going to be fine. I mean, even probably by the end of, you know, today or tomorrow, it'll all be worked out. Yeah. But I just get a little eye rolly sometimes where I'm just like, okay,
why is this so hard?
Yeah, like nobody's having a good time here. Like it's not going to be fun to like deal with this, but it shouldn't be as nitpicky, annoying as it is.
Oh yeah, totally.
But it is.
It is. It is. And it's funny because, you know, technology has, it really has made our lives a lot easier in a lot of ways, but it's kind of like, well, now there's all these options. Cause before it was like snail mail only, you know, now it's like snail mail, like a janky portal that, because I had the same situation doing my taxes. Like I would upload a PDF and it was just like, this is not a PDF. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Oh my God. I had that same situation. It was like, this is an outdated PDF. You need to be on version 1.4 where I'm like, this is like part of Mac OS. Like what is going on here?
You know, it's actually really funny. We're already talking about this, but I'm leaving town in a few days, day after tomorrow. But in the meantime, I have a bone to pick with technology. I have a few bones actually.
Okay.
So right. I'm really happy that you
set the tone.
Okay. Yeah. You set the tone. And I am grateful for technology. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want to bag on it. Louis C.K. had a whole bit about flying in a plane and how people bitch about, oh, the overhead bins are full. And you know, this kid is kicking my seat, but like you're actually flying in like a aluminum machine that's like taking you to another country, like stop bitching kind of thing. So it's like, I don't want to bitch about technology, but sometimes you can be a bitch ass bitch. So I have a few examples. Example number one, and you're going to like my third one the best, Sarah, I think.
Okay.
So
all right, let's hear it.
You ready? Okay. So I'm having lunch with my French family. See, these are the parents that I lived with or they housed me in Paris when I lived in Paris and I taught English to their kids. I'm still very close to one of their kids. And so we're going to have a fancy lunch at Zuni in San Francisco. You probably know that restaurant, Sarah.
Love Zuni. And they have a great Caesar salad.
Hard place to make a reservation, but that's not the story that I have for you here. But but anyway, so I'm going to have my road trip kicks off with this, you know, fancy lunch with my French family. So I'm, you know, we just had this French election. It's been super interesting. I've been, you know, trying to follow it because my French father, Jean-Marc, is really into the politics. He actually left France. He lives in Germany now because he was so tired of the French politics. So we tend to get into these conversations and my French is pretty decent, but I was like, you know, I'm going to pop back into Duolingo to brush up on my political mm-hmm. vocab and maybe do a little like conversational back and forth. They have those little bots that you can talk with. And I haven't used Duolingo in a while, but it is on my homepage, my phone, because I like to remind myself like, hey, if you have an idle moment, pop into Duolingo and brush up on your French. And so it's been many months. I would say it's been at least 4 months since I've been into that app. So I go into the app and it says to log in, you know, with email. So I'm like, of course, I can't really remember my password. So I'm like, I'll just log in with, you know, they give you the option. You could log in with Google, Facebook, Apple. None of them worked. It like didn't recognize me at all. Like even my email, it didn't recognize. And then it's like, you know, I thought like, let me delete the app and then re-upload it. Cause sometimes that's the problem, but I didn't want to lose my data. You know, that's important shit. I was like, God, have I been blacklisted? Anyway, I haven't figured it out yet. I'll probably try to do the online. Maybe I'll go to the website and see if I can chat somebody up. But my example number two is, so we have this new Google TV that we got at Costco, which is awesome. It's like a 60 inch. It's mounted. It's dope. The only issue we are having with it physically is we still have the cables hanging down, which I know you would not approve of, Sarah. But it requires drilling into the wall. And
this is not something I would ever knock you for. But yes, in my own home, can't happen.
I know. And it's...
It has to be like, they have to be like obfuscated somehow.
I know. It does bug me. And sometimes I notice them more than others. Like, you know how you, after a while, you just kind of stop noticing them. But it's something, it's on my long to-do list, Sarah.
You could put like a vase or something like in front of it and then just call it a day.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. It's once you come up and visit me, if you ever do, I'll show you, and you'll be like, "Yeah,
dang, that's a little more complicated." Like a threat. If you ever come up here, Sarah.
It was. Well, I was thinking the other day. I was like, "Man, Sarah has this whole picture painted in her head of like where I am, but like it's not, you know, it's not realistic. I mean, maybe it is." But I just thought, yeah, one of these days it'll happen. I'll have a garden party and I'll invite you.
We will.
All the dogs.
We will for sure make it up there. Sooner than later. Let's see. Okay. 2022. Mark your cow.
I'm penciling it in. So this TV. So it's a fantastic TV. It's one of those Google, you know, smart TVs, that whole thing. And, you know, and it's like with technology, it's like there's always something, you know, obviously this is a better TV than I had. The one I had was great, but this is just way more evolved. And, you know, there's always things, the new things that work differently than your older model, or just doesn't work the same. And so you're like, there's a learning curve, or has like a wacky new feature you don't understand, mm-hmm. or whatever. So nothing's perfect. That's cool. But yeah. We kind of expect it to be, and I think that's another story. It's like I think we get irritated with technology, you know, we kind of expect it to be a little bit more seamless. So I finally sat down, I was under the weather, I guess it was Saturday, maybe it was yesterday, it might have been yesterday, can't remember, but I just have
you were under
very,
the weather.
Very,
you get
very
a pass.
Bad allergies, and so I was just sneezing and just felt really tired. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to catch up on Ted Lasso. What a great opportunity. And so I did some satisfying binging. And, you know, unfortunately, I had to press pause a lot to deal with my animals on some reason or another. One of them wanted whatever it was. There was knocks at the door. So I paused it probably at least 6 to 8 times. and every time I paused it, it was like a minute that I was pausing it. Like I was gone for 30 seconds to a minute. It wasn't that long that I was pausing it. I went back, you know, I woke up my TV and it started the whole episode from the beginning. It didn't save my spot. And I was like, ugh. Yeah. But I couldn't figure it out. I need to deal with that. I need to Google it. I know that there's probably threads out there. If you guys have any advice, please let me know. Hi@havesuchagoodday.com. Okay, so example number 3. I'm saving the best for last. Mm-hmm. Spam has gotten sophisticated, as we all know. I'm pretty good at knowing when it's bullshit. Like when I get an email, and you know, I'm like, that's phishing or whatever. And I immediately put it to my spam folder. But these days I'm getting spammy looking stuff, but it's not actual spam. And so for the last 3 months I've been getting this email, and the subject line is Havertown Moms of Teen Meetup, MOM is all capped. And I'm like, oh, that seems weird. Like Havertown, where's that? Like, I'm not a mom. Like, what is this? And so I immediately just put it in a spam folder, just thinking, oh, it's a mistake, whatever. But yeah. It was the thread that kept on giving. Whenever anybody would reply, I would get like, if you're all still hanging out and not about to wrap it up, I'll come in after. I'll come meet you guys after. Lisa, I think Saturday night might be easier for you to meet. I'll try to be flexible if others prefer Sunday. Thanks for hosting, Jill. And I'm just like, what is this? This can't be spam. Or maybe it is. I don't know. And like, where's Havertown? And so I continued to be patient with this thread, and I just kept putting it to spam. Wasn't working. I'm like, who are these people? So I write back, you know, 4 to 6 months later, and I say, hi, you know, I'm nice. You know, I said, I don't think you meant to have me on your thread. And this woman, apparently she's also Heather Frank, but she has some lame email like Heather Frank, you know, .215, yeah, something. Yeah. And she goes, hi, I'm really sorry, but who are you? And I was like, and then she said,
the person you've been emailing.
Yeah. Like I was almost offended by her response. Cause I was like really nicely going, hi, I think this is the wrong email. Like I stated pretty clearly, like who I was in the situation. And she's like, hi, no comma. I am really sorry, but who are you? Total run on sentence. The thread says you are me? Question mark.
Well, I thought of you immediately. She's probably Sarah. Just like totally confused. Like, who is this other Heather Frank?
100%.
Is like, what happened was somebody had her email, but then was like, maybe we'll just like throw in like...
We'll throw in the generic heatherfrank@gmail.com kind of thing.
Well, now you just gave everybody your email address. But, but I mean, yeah, I'm Sarah Lynn at Gmail. You can email me too. It's not a big deal. But yeah, like I've definitely been there before, especially being, I mean, I don't know how common Heather Frank as a name is. I would assume
fairly
somewhat
probably.
Common.
Yeah.
Sarah Lane, also somewhat common. I mean, there are a lot of Sarahs in the world and there are a lot of people with the last name Lane. And so, you know, I, the most recent experience that I had that kind of sounds like what you just laid out, Heather, was there was like, there's like some, you know what a legionnaire is? It's like
a,
it's like a, I mean, the term goes back to like the Roman Empire or, you know, French Foreign Legion kind of thing. But there is like a group of American legionnaires.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
There may be more than one. I don't know, but it's like a veteran.
The people of a legion, essentially.
Yeah, it's basically military veterans.
Yeah,
and I'm on this. Somehow, I'm on this thread with like 90 other people, you know, I got a couple of the emails, and at first I was like, "Yeah, like it's spam." I don't know, it's like weird spam. And then I was like, "This actually isn't spam. I shouldn't be on here." And so I selectively, you know, not wanting to reply to all 90 people. You know, like someone would send a note, you know, like an update, because they're all like meeting at some meeting house or totally. I don't even know where they're going. And, you know, I would be like, hey, if all possible, like, I know this is weird, but like this, I somehow got added to this and, you know, you don't want me to see this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, I mean, it's not like I could like use it against anybody, but it, you know, I just feel weird when I'm like, oh, I'm privy to stuff that isn't quite right. And they Veterans Association, they like can't figure me out. They're like, what is this? It was the exact same thing. Like, who are you? Why
it's
are you here?
Funny
and I'm like,
exchange.
You did this.
Yeah. Because you're like, and I love her. I love the way she wrote me back. I thought it was hilarious. And you could see her little picture. And she's, hi, I'm really sorry, but who are you? And it's like, who am I? Who are you, Heather Frank? Get off my lawn. Like, what the? Anyway, I'd like to know from you guys, what is irking you about your technology lately? Anything? Let us know. Hi at havesuchagooddaycom.
Oh, indeed. That's my Omar voice from The Wire, if anyone hasn't watched that.
It wasn't so good.
I was talking to somebody about that the other day. I watched The Wire. And if you have her, like, I'm not going to spoil anything if you haven't watched it. So don't worry about it. But it's also like, you know, you get a couple decades in and is it really a spoiler anymore? But I won't talk about specifics, but I did not watch The Wire when it was on HBO. I watched The Sopranos when that was live, and I've watched The Sopranos front to back probably maybe three times since then.
Yeah, probably.
I find it very comforting.
Ugh,
it's so just comforting. It's just my love language. That's that, you know, as brutal as it is, that says something about me and I don't care. But The Wire, you know, people were like, oh, Sopranos is like, some of my friends, Sopranos is pretty good, but like, well, The Wire is like the best show. And I'm like, again, it's like the Forrest Gump thing where I'm like, I don't want to watch it. I'll watch it when I want to someday. Totally. I'm just, you know, like, I don't want, stop force feeding the show. And also like, stop telling me it's better than the show I love so much. You know, like, what, why are you doing that? So it took me years. I think I watched The Wire, I binged it in like, I actually remember where I lived. So it would have been 2013.
Did we watch it at the same time? Or because we talked about The Wire a lot when we were watching. I remember talking to about it.
I watched it a second time after this.
When I watched it.
The first time I watched it, and, you know, I was like, I don't know what I didn't really know anything about it. And I really like sort of crime drama stuff. That's totally my thing. But like, the more I watched it, the more I was like, okay, this is like homework. It's like a slog, you know, because it's not a happy show.
It's chock full of like details and names that you really
and just sort of the way things work. And it just feels like to me it felt like I was in school learning something, and that's not a bad thing, but I wasn't necessarily enjoying it either. So I got through the whole series and was like, yeah, okay, I'll give it to y'all. It was a pretty good show, but like I didn't really like it very much. You know, like I don't want to do that again. You know, I feel like I just came up for air. And then a few years ago, I don't really know why. I don't know. There was probably a lull in like cool, you know, programming or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I should watch The Wire again. Give it another shot. And I liked it a lot more.
I remember you liking it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not really that I didn't. I don't know. I don't really know why. You know, you're just in a different mindset.
You might not have been in the right mood. It's kind of like I wasn't ready to watch Ted Lasso. And I will say...
Exactly.
I was into not watching comedies for like a year. Not because I didn't laugh. And I mean, I did laugh in life. I didn't want to watch musicals or comedies for a long time. Like I was in that mode. I don't know.
I mean, how many musicals do you have? I don't not really. Watch?
I'm not even a huge musical person, yes. But there's Heather's been the like, reason.
For years, musicals were out. The King and I, no.
But like, listen, I love The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. There are musicals that I do love. Don't get me wrong, but like my boyfriend sometimes will want to put on a musical and I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm not watching that right now. Like, I'm just not in the mood to be like happy-go-lucky tonight. Like, not that I'm not happy. I just want to be sucked into like a drama or something that's more... I don't know what it is. It's like this psychological thing. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. You know, I joke on the show all the time about the fact that I watch like trash television. And I actually, sometimes I'm like, that maybe isn't even the right term because that's unkind in general. But like, I watch stuff where it is background. It's almost white noise to me.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't even need to look at the TV. Level. You know, I can be like cooking or like taking a shower in the next room kind of thing. But like I like it. I like the cadence of it. And it, you know, it's not for everybody, for sure. And yeah, I don't know. It's the whole the whole TV experience is make it your own.
Yeah.
That's my advice to you. Just make it your own. Don't let anybody tell you what to watch and not watch. You do yoke.
I know we weren't very successful with our, we were going to do our little movie club and we're like, okay, Sarah, you watch this. We'll talk about it next week. And it just like fizzled out really fast, which is all good.
And it's not because I don't want to. I'm just
You just want to watch what you want to watch at the time you want to watch it. Exactly. And you don't know what mood you're going to be in. And well, it is hard. I get it.
It kind of goes back to that to-do list, right? Yeah. It's like, I have things that I really do have to do. Like I can't just pretend that they don't exist. But when it comes to like watching a piece of entertainment content, I'm like, this can be pushed. You know, and I'll get to it. And if I don't, I don't want anybody to be mad at me either. So
sometimes I feel like there's tinges of like Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm when we talk about these things. I mean, not that we're that brilliant.
Am I Larry David?
But it's like, I love just like our like minute like deconstruction of like.
Yeah. Hey, it's one of my favorite things to do. Don't make me watch this. I don't want to watch it.
You got the accent down. That's pretty good.
Thank you. One of the people I would love to have dinner with is Larry David. He's not the only one.
Me too.
I have a list, but
Julia Louis-Dreyfus for me.
Totally.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be a good one as well, for sure. Gosh, such a crush on her.
We'll have to revisit that. I think at one point in one of our episodes way back when, we were like, what are your top three, you know, famous people you'd have dinner with? And I think you did say Larry David, or I did. One of us did.
I don't think I did, but I might feel have. Like I should have. Maybe I did. Now you can. I don't know. I don't remember.
You can do a part two.
Yeah, part two. Well, listen, so Heather, you were lamenting technology earlier in the show. I get it. I've been having some pain points as well. But one thing that did happen that's a pretty big story in the world this week is that Elon Musk has bought Twitter.
Yep.
Yes, he has. Now, I don't really want to, on DTNS, Daily Tech News Show, which is one of the other shows that I co-host, we had talked about it on this episode today, earlier today, and we will continue to probably throughout the week and for the foreseeable future. But I don't need to get into like sort of like the minutia of like financials on this show. I don't think anybody wants me to, but I was sort of thinking today, just on a very high level of like, okay, Twitter was a public company, publicly traded company, you know, where you or I could be shareholders like anybody mm-hmm. else, you know, as long as you wanted to pay to buy the shares. Now it will be his company. It will go back to being a private company, meaning that he and whoever is the team that mm-hmm. he decides to use, you know, mm-hmm. to help him along, can potentially change things, mm-hmm. Make different rules, roll back things, push things forward. I'm not even saying any of that is necessarily going to be bad, because I don't know. This is mm-hmm. all very new. You know, we're recording this the exact same day that this news came out. So mm-hmm. I don't know. What I was thinking about, though, is okay, so I remember the first time that I heard about Twitter, and I was not in the country. I was in Argentina. I was traveling, and a friend of mine who, you know, I was traveling, and this was 2007, mm-hmm. early 2007. So it was still the time where, like, yeah, I had a computer with me, but, like, you didn't have like Wi-Fi where you were staying in hotels and stuff like that. Like you had to go to like an internet cafe.
That's right. Oh,
there was no iPhone. There was no smartphone stuff. Like it was hard to be online unless mm-hmm. you really wanted to do that. You know, like if you mm-hmm. wanted to do that, you know, and spend all day doing that, you could. But it wasn't like just like, oh, yeah, I've got my phone in my pocket. It wasn't like that. And a friend of mine got a hold of me and was like, hey, just secure your name on Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, just before somebody else does, like, just do Sarah Lane. You know, I was like, oh, God, I mean, is it really, you know, what is this? Because I really didn't know. I had been pretty out of the loop because I had been traveling for an extended period of time at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I signed up, got my name, glad I did, and glad that, you know, that friend helped me. But it's like, that seems like such a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I have been vocal on Twitter less and less ever since, you know, those first couple of years where it felt like, oh, we're like in a private, you know, like cool, like nerd club, right? Like, you know, we're mm-hmm. all just kind of, we're like talking on a back channel and the rest of the world doesn't even know what's going on. It's not like that anymore. Mm-mm. It's a huge, not the only social network, clearly, but I mean, it is a huge, 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 huge social network. And I just think, I don't really, and I was not arguing about this with some other friends earlier today, but we weren't arguing, but I was sort of like, you know, so he burns it to the ground. You know, like, I think we'll all survive. And mm-hmm. a few of my friends took me to task on that a little bit and said, well, hold on a second, Sarah. I mean, think about all of like, you know, groups that are perhaps marginalized or otherwise, you know, use this as a way to disseminate good information.
Sure.
And if they were silenced, like, okay, sure, they have other options, but like you have to build an audience. Like this is, you know, it's all a big process, right? Mm-hmm. You don't just kind of be like, yay, everything works well. Like you have to, you know, generate a following and all of that stuff. And I was like, you know, that's actually really, really a good point. And right now, at least at the time of this recording, like nothing is different. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Except that people are all talking about the fact that Elon Musk bought Twitter. But it just makes me, you know, it gives me a little pause. Like, okay, all right. So this will either shake out and be more or less the same, or it'll change dramatically. And
which is okay, too.
Which is okay, too. And that is just how life goes. Exactly. And, we're going to have other options. But, like, it's a pivotal kind of a weird day.
It is weird. And what's weird, I mean, I don't have to tell you about this news, but the fact that it wasn't really going to happen days ago because they were doing this whole poison pill thing. And then all of a sudden, he bought it. And so I'd be curious to have been in the boardroom when that was, when the decision was made. It's pretty fascinating that it was such a 180. But very interesting turn of events. But I don't know. I'm always for. I know a lot of people are really afraid of change, and I am close to a lot of people who they talk about it a lot, and they fear it. You know, to the point where, you spend all this time worrying that something's going to change, and it may or may not, and then it's like this wasted amount of worrying, and. You know, it might be amazing if, like, it is not the same Twitter. I mean, everything needs to change. Things can't stay the same. That's, like, one thing we know for sure is, he's either going to change it or someone else will. And hopefully he'll change it for the better.
Yeah, indeed. Honestly, 6 months from now, maybe we'll all be like, what were we so worried about? It's so much better.
Totally. Or maybe he'll get us all into space. I mean, it really is.
I'm not going to space.
Not either.
You have fun up there.
No.
I'm not going to space.
I don't want to go.
Nope.
Yeah.
I like it on the ground.
Yeah. Unless they find like some new planet that's like has rainbows every day and puppies and it's like has an awesome atmosphere with like lots of plentiful oxygen.
Don't hold your breath, Heather.
I'm not going to.
So did we, please remind me, because all the days blend together now, did we talk about 100 foot wave on the show last week?
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah. Or maybe you might've told me just offline.
I might've just told you. Yeah. In between. So documentary about big wave surfers, like tow-in big waves, like the biggest waves in the world. And I really enjoyed the documentary.
I tried to find it actually. Was it on Netflix? Which platform? I guess whatever.
Netflix or HBO.
Hash it out later.
Yeah. We'll hash it out later. But the documentary series is called 100 Foot Wave, and I like surfing stuff. But this is like scary surfing, where you watch somebody and you're like, I want to puke.
Yeah, totally. Like Point Break.
The wave that you're surfing is just like way too, like it's like,
yeah,
great. You're like good at this, but like,
you're gonna get crushed.
I would rather die. Like, yeah. Just put me out. Like, I don't even want to try. I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's so, though, like, I mean, if you're an ocean person, which I am, I love to be near the ocean. I like to look at the ocean. Heather, you obviously live on the ocean.
Yeah, well, you should come up and check it out. Yeah.
You know how it is. But, like, it was funny as I was watching, because there's like a series of, I don't know, there's like 10 episodes or something in this documentary series. And, you're watching quite a bit of surfing content. And I'm like, why would anybody want to go to space? Like, you could just look at this.
I know, totally.
Like, you could do that. Like, you don't even have to like be like some like crazy surfer person, who's like, risking their life, out there. It's like, you could just look at that. And why would you ever want to go to space?
So if you went to like a tropical island, I knew you wouldn't be surfing big waves, but like, would you snorkel and like swim with the turtles?
Yeah.
And like, you're not too afraid of the ocean. You wouldn't go too deep.
I'm afraid of, well, I mean, I don't know if we're being honest. I am afraid of drowning.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be in waves are just not my jam. Mm-hmm. But yeah, snorkeling, being in the water is my jam.
Yeah.
Just
like
not,
you're a good swimmer.
Just not, yeah, like not like, taking it all to the, extreme. Like just no, not for me. But
I'm
I'll,
not
be
extreme
the,
either.
I'll be on the I'll be on the on solid land being like, "Yay, go, go, go."
You'll be in the pool at the bar, just kind of half floating in the water. And
in water.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, the most I've ever done is, you know, I have surfed a handful of times for sure. And I've always been a little nervous. And I won't surf up here. First of all, it's too cold. But, you know, there's sharks and there's been sightings. But there's lots of surfers up here. I mean, it's there's lots of great surf spots. I grew up near Santa Cruz. I was very exposed to surfing. My first boyfriend was a pretty profesh surfer dude. But I want to watch that. I'm definitely gonna watch it. So Sarah, one more little topic I wanna run by you before we head out of here is. So you know, as you get older, you have reoccurring themes in your own life, like that you, I don't know, patterns maybe that you continue to do over the years, and they become more and more familiar as you get older because they happen more often. So you know, this has been sort of a theme throughout my life, and when people kind of ask you like, what would be your dream job? You know, like what would be like the ultimate? And often mine, I mean, I could come up with a few, but often mine would be like some kind of like film director or filmmaker, or, you know, some kind of creative in that field. And it's sort of what pushed me into going into television in the beginning, because I, you know, grew up, I've always loved movies. We all know this. And on some levels in the early television days, this was like, Sarah and I started in broadcast TV. So a lot of television producers were also kind of directors too, because you were almost in charge of, depending on what kind of producer you were, you know, if you ran a show, you were developing the ideas, you were developing the content, you were casting, you were directing the talent, you were choosing the best take, or you were the one that was coming up with the tone, and you even designed the set, like at least you conceived of it. That was one of the things I liked the most about my job, was that kind of creative stuff. And that went on for a lot of my career. I mean, all my jobs have been, you know, somewhat different, you know, versions of those, you know, some maybe more creative than others. And I, throughout my life, when I've seen like a movie that really resonates with me, but like on a really, really core level, or I love listening to interviews with like directors specifically, not even really actors. Like it has to sort of be like, it's really the director that fascinates me, because they're usually the one with the vision, and there's always a really interesting story behind like the making of something. And it's like something back in their childhood. I mean, it's just like, it's like a psychological thing that I just love hearing about. And so I was recently listening to an interview with Robert Eggers, who's a director. This was on Marc Maron, I think. And he's a director who I've been fascinated by for a while. He's sort of a newish director in the sense that, I mean, he's been around for a little while, but he did a movie called The Witch and a movie called The Lighthouse, and now he has a movie out called The Northman, which is definitely much more mainstream. You've probably seen, you know, billboards for it, but I think he's really brilliant, and I didn't know much about him, and I went on this like deep dive with him about, God, really, I mean, it was so good. And I was just, you know, when you're listening to a podcast and you're just eating it up, like I just was fascinated by his whole creative process. And this is something I do all the time. Like I'll get really lost in a movie. Like recently I saw this incredible Norwegian movie called The Worst Person in the World, and it got some awards at Cannes, and you know, just the main actress is really amazing, and I think you'll love it, Sarah. You should check it out. But it was everything I love in a movie. It was like funny and heady and philosophical and relatable, something that I would be so proud if I made it. You know, it'd be something that like, if I were a focused person and like really disciplined, like I'd make a movie like that. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, man, and then I want to go into like, well, who made this? Who are they? Who are they as a person? I'm fascinated, you know? So my long story short is I get these whims, and I have throughout my life, where I'm like, I really need to seriously consider getting back into doing more of this kind of directing, and, or doing not necessarily feature films. I mean, shit, that'd be hard to break into. But I've... you know, many times in my life, I have considered like even going to school to become a director. But then I'm like, really trying to make the distinction. Do I really want to be one and like do the thing, like be on set, make the movie? Or am I just so into the observer connoisseur sort of position like I am now, where I like to deconstruct it and analyze it and hear people talk about it and just enjoy that. Like,
yeah.
And to be, yeah. to actually, and I had this conversation with my boyfriend. It's like, he's like, he put it really well, because he has interviewed a lot of directors and a lot of people in the business. He has a lot of friends who direct, and he's like, you have to be a masochist to be a director like that. You have to want to fight and suffer like all the time for everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, do you want to do that? Do you? And it's like, you really like break down, because I live in a fantasy world and think, oh, being a director is probably the most amazing creative thing in the world. I'd be so happy if I was a director. But then you got to really think about, well, what would that actually be like? Maybe you just want to kick back and enjoy and deconstruct and analyze a good movie. Maybe that's really all you want, because you're so passionate about it. So I just thought it was kind of an interesting thing that I've kind of grappled with. Like, do I really want to be a director? I mean, I don't want to be a masochist. I don't think I am a masochist. I don't want to fight and suffer. That's not me. And I'm like, that is kind of an interesting concept. You know, in theory, I want to be a director, but in practice, I don't know. I'd be curious to hear from you guys on this. What do you have any reoccurring themes in your life that kind of come back and haunt you? Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
You know, what's funny, and this is a very, very loose comparison, but and it's probably some sort of self-serving thing that I tell myself. But you know, I am not a person who is flush with cash. You know, I mean, I can take care of myself, you know, I I've got my pets, I pay for my life, all good. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I got lots of money. People I know have lots of money. Many people that I'm, you know, friends with and close with have a lot more money than me. And, you know, we don't have to talk about that in great detail, but sometimes, I mean, that you can kind of go like one of two ways, like kind of the way you're talking about with the directors. It's like, it would be so cool to have all that money, you know, but at the same time, yeah, but with the money comes a lot of headaches.
Mo money, mo problems.
Yeah. And like money adjacent is sometimes like a pretty great place to be.
It is.
You know, where you're like, you can do fun stuff, you know, and maybe some doors are opened that wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be able to open just on your own.
Absolutely.
But you're not carrying the burden of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that's a good comparison. And I think that also some of these realms in these industries are like, really, you kind of have to be, it has to be in the family, you know, it's all a lot of nepotism, you know? And so maybe if my dad were a director, I would just naturally go into it because it was like, you know, it's kind of easy for me to do it, but that isn't the case. Anyway, it's a big conversation. It's something I think about a lot, and I'll let you know if I have any new revelations about it.
Please do. But in the meantime. Yeah. In the meantime, we would love for you to become a patron. If you're listening to the show and you say, what's a patron? I don't know. I like the show. It might be cool. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where you can find out more about directly supporting the show. This offers you an ad-free feed. Among other things, at the $5 and up level, you can join our Discord, where we're chatting with our Discorders. What up, Discorders?
What up?
What up, fam? And you know, all sorts of stuff. You don't have to. The show is free. If you want it to be free, it will be free. You might hear ads, all good. We're just glad to have you along, but we do have some options for you. So please do take that into consideration, because we are trying to keep the lights on here. Also, wanted to really quickly shout out Seth G. Seth G reached out, said hi, said he's loving the show. Hope we're doing great. So thanks, Seth.
Thanks for checking in.
Yeah,
I know. I think he was sort of an avid Discorder for a while, but you know, people come and go, and that's totally cool. You can be prolific.
You do you. You want to watch Forrest Gump or not? Well, we don't care. Honestly,
we want is for you to do
what's best for you.
We do. We want you to have such a good day. Seriously.
We really do. I mean, that's the whole point of the show. Speaking of such a good day, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode 146. Thanks, everybody, for for listening and being on this crazy ride with us. We're going to do it all again next week.
We love
you. Episode 147. We really do love you. And until next week, I will remain Sarah.
And I will be the one and only Heather Frank. All others get off my lawn. Have such a good day.
Such a good day.
Later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.